We live in a society wherein people are constantly judging each other, aren't they? We judge individuals according to their political beliefs. We judge individuals according to their socioeconomic status. We judge individuals according to their age group. We judge individuals according to the type of work that they might do. We judge individuals according to their appearances. And on and on and on and on we go, constantly judging one another. And what's interesting is this: we live in a world wherein individuals, when they are judged, will cry out, "It's wrong to judge." Isn't that something? All we do is judge, and yet the opposite end of that is, it's wrong to do that. What's always amazed me is this: how individuals who say it is wrong to judge feel justified in judging those who are judging. That's a big sentence, isn't it? You need to write that down, take it home, and digest that a little bit. One of the passages that individuals will use in order to, quote, prove, end quote, that it is wrong to judge is Matthew 7:1. When the passage is used, they only quote the first two words. "Judge not," Jesus said, "judge not." That's easy, isn't it? There are five other words in the verse. Why did you stop at two? There's seven. And not only that, there are four more verses in the context that will help us to understand exactly what Jesus is talking about when he begins with the words, "judge not." This morning I want us to talk about Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. The title of our lesson very simply is Hypocritical Judging. Hypocritical judging. There's going to be 4 points. You can just turn to that passage, and we're going to be just staying there for the most part during the course of this lesson. He begins with a condition. And Jesus says this: "Judge not that ye be not judged." Notice Jesus does not say, "Do not judge." That's not what he says. That's what man says that he says, but that is not exactly what he said. Those individuals who take that verse and teach to say that Jesus is teaching against any and all judging abuse the text, don't they? First of all, they don't quote the whole verse. Secondly, they do not keep the text in its context. And thirdly, they do not read the very last statement that Jesus makes in the fifth verse. Notice what he says: "Then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye." Jesus didn't say it's wrong to see a mote in your brother's eye. Jesus didn't say it is wrong to cast out a mote that is in your brother's eye. In fact, he authorizes it in the very last statement, does he not? You see, these individuals are making a passage say something that it was never intended to say. Jesus says this: if you don't want to be judged, then guess what? Then you do not need to judge. I don't know about you. I don't like people judging me. Do you? Who likes to be judged by other people? Leave me alone. Keep your judgments to yourself. Go have nightmares about me or something, but whatever. It's unbelievable, isn't it? And Jesus provides us a way wherein we can be judged less. Isn't that wonderful? And how do I do that? If I do not judge, I won't be judged. That's pretty nice, isn't it? Now note this. The benefit of not being judged is something that everybody, you would think, would desire, right? I don't want to be judged. So if you don't want to be judged, then what? Don't judge other people. But notice that last part. Refraining from judging others is hard, hard, hard. Do I need another word? Difficult to do, isn't it? It's hard to do. We don't like the way a person looks, so we judge them, don't we? We don't like a person's personality, so we judge them. We don't like the way a person talks, so we judge them. We don't like the way a person does something, so we judge them. We don't like a person's opinion, so we judge them, don't we? Guys, I catch myself doing it all the time. It's easy, isn't it? You just drive down the street, see somebody. First thing you know, you're talking to yourself about that person. Look at him. Can you believe that's the way that joker dresses? Look at her. We're just judging all the time. Sometimes all it takes is for a certain person's face to pop up on the television screen, and we've already judged them. Oh, look at that dude. Especially if it's politics. Isn't that true? It's unbelievable. Doing what our Lord said to do in order to lessen our judgment is hard. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? If I could just not judge others, then guess what? I won't be judged. Because you see, Jesus talks about the consequence of our judging in the very next verse. Matthew 7:2. Notice what he says. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. When you and I judge others, the same standard by which we judge others will be applied to us. Exact standard. There's an old saying that goes like this. What's good for the goose, and everybody could almost finish it, can't they? Is good for the gander. If your judgment of another person is good enough for him, it is also good enough for who? It is good enough for you. That's scary, isn't it? Folks, there's not one standard for other people and a totally different standard for me. The same standard that we apply to other is the very standard by which I had better be living. I want you to think about that. I will be judged by my own standard. That's scary, isn't it? I don't like the way another person looks. What about how you look? I never thought about that. I don't like the way another person talks. What about the way you talk? I know I talk country. And some people don't like that, you know it? But what about the way the person who don't like the way I talk country talks? I don't like another person's mannerisms. What about your mannerisms? I don't like another person's personality. What about your personality? I don't like another person's beard. What about your beard? I don't like another person's hairdo. What about your do? Folks, it just goes on and on and on and on. You know that? And yet we have a tendency to what? Constantly judge, don't we? Jesus then goes into a contrast in the next two verses. And The contrasts are interesting. One involves an examination and an exclusion. That's verse 3 of the text. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Wow. The examination happens when we see all the flaws, all the problems, all the things wrong with another person. And we can detect them 10,000 miles away. I know I just put a mile on there, but it's farther than that, isn't it? All I've got to do is see a person for 1 second, and I got him wrapped up, summed up, know exactly all there is to know about him, and judge him. It's unbelievable. That person rolls around, we start wiggling, don't we? That person comes around and we kind of start laughing at them behind their back. That person's around us and we get all agitated. Ew, he's around, she's around. We make comments about that individual under our breath. We roll our eyes, oh, here he comes. Sometimes we even just wish they just go away. Think about that. A human being created in the similitude of God, and I just want him to go away. Quit bothering me because I don't like something about that person. Jesus asked the question, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? But notice there's the exclusion, isn't there? And the exclusion involves myself. And considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye. If I really look at my own life, what I might find is that I have major flaws, maybe even sins in my life that I really need to correct. But guess what? My brother just has a little mote in his eye that drives me crazy. My sins might be I'm failing to use my talents to the glory of God. It could be that I forsake the worship services. It could be that I'm negligent in prayer or negligent in my Bible study. It could be that I'm not involved in personal evangelism and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't like this girl's hairdo, and boy, I'll judge her for that. But I don't stop and make any corrections in my own life about the big things that have to do with my relationship with the Almighty God. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Jesus continues the contrast in the next verse, and he talks about the elimination and the exception in that verse. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Many of us are quick to want to eliminate those little flaws and difficulties in others, aren't we? We almost proclaim ourselves to be master surgeons. Let me at him. I'll fix him. They confront them about their spec. They give them suggestions on how to correct their spec. They go around and they talk to other people. Let's get a little team together, and that way we can confront him and get that little spec all taken care of. Isn't it amazing how potent Jesus' words are to our lives and what we do? Makes us uncomfortable, doesn't it? But notice, when it comes to the beam that is in our own eye, they make an exception, don't they? The beam, even though it's hideous, is never supposed to be made the topic of conversation. Oh, I can judge others all I want to, but don't you dare start talking about me and my problems and my faults and my struggles. They will act as if they don't exist, or they certainly will never attempt to remove it. If you do talk about it, they'll have a good rationalization. They'll have some good justification as to why they have it. If someone seeks to remove the beam out of their eye, they'll scream out, "Judge not!" Isn't that amazing? They are quick as they can be to judge the little things. But the very minute you go to remove the beam out of their eye, they hold up that banner. Jesus said, "Judge not." There are some examples we find in Scripture of these very things. One of them were the Jewish leaders of Jesus' day. Isn't that amazing? Here are individuals who know the law, individuals who are supposed to be the exemplars of the law, individuals who are supposed to be the ones who can truly teach the law to other individuals, and they're the very ones who are the violators. Notice Matthew 23:23-24. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin." Folks, those are nothing but little spices found in the houses of the Israelites. And yet what? "And have omitted the weightier matters of the law: judgment, mercy, faith." And notice what he says: "These ye ought to have done, but not to leave the other undone." But look at that last part of that, the very last verse. "Ye blind guides, ye what? Ye strain at gnats and swallow the camel." Well, that's a picture, isn't it? If you were a Jewish leader of Jesus' day, you'd enter into a person's home and say, "You have any salt?" "Oh yeah, I've got salt. Let me see it." They get you a little salt shaker, they pour it all out on the table, and they take a tenth. "Got any pepper?" "Yeah, I got a lot of pepper too." Go get your pepper shaker, pour it all out on the table, and they take a tenth. "Got any chili pepper?" "Yeah, I got a little chili pepper." "Bring it out." Pour it out there on the table, take a tenth. "Got any paprika?" These are the only spices I know, folks. Pour it out there on the table, take a tenth. They were meticulous about mint, anise, and cumin. You better make certain you pay your tithes. And then they themselves would neglect what? Judgment, mercy, and faith. Jesus says those are the weightier matters of the law. Now what they were doing wasn't wrong as far as the tithing of mint, anise, and cumin. These ye ought to have done. It's okay to do that. But not to what? Leave the other undone. And I love that statement, "Ye blind guides, you strain at gnats and swallow the camel." We get all bent out of shape over the little stuff in the lives of others and yet fail to take care of the big stuff in our own life. That's what Jesus says. What's sad is the Jews didn't learn their lesson. By the time Paul comes around, he says the same thing. "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things." Wouldn't you hate for everyone to be judged on their hairdos? It's always amazed me how one person could look at somebody's hairdo and say, that's beautiful. And somebody else looks at their hairdo and say, I can't hardly stand that. Right? So who's right? People that you think have the worst personalities have a group of friends of about 10,000. And you think you've got a wonderful personality and you got two friends. What's wrong with you? It's unbelievable. Verse 5, Jesus issues forth a command, and it's a strong one, folks. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam that is in thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. I want you to listen. Jesus identifies these individuals as what? Hypocrites. Hypocrites. This individual wants others out of sin, but they remain therein. He wants other individuals to better themselves, but they can remain exactly the way they are. He wants others to work, but he'll just continue to be lazy, non-compliant. He wants others to be knowledgeable, but he'll continue in his ignorance. In his efforts to fix others, he tries to manifest himself to be something that he's not, a hypocrite. Manifesting myself to be something I'm not. That's a stage player, folks. It's an actor. And that's the very definition of hypocrite. And Jesus starts with that very term, thou hypocrite. Now notice what he says. Here's the command. First, cast the beam out of thine own eye. There's the command. Each person needs to clean up around his own doorstep. We've heard that, haven't we? Each person needs to mop his own kitchen floor first before he starts going and talking about other people's kitchens. We need to stop and we need to do a self-examination of our own lives before we go around trying to make all these corrections in the lives of other people. Isn't that what Paul said? Examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate? Put yourself on the witness stand. Try yourself, prove yourself, examine yourself. Make certain that you are right before you do anything else. That's a pretty high standard, isn't it? It would almost stop all judging, wouldn't it? Notice the last statement Jesus makes, though. And then, thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Folks, there are times when we need to be involved in the lives of our brethren when they are wrong, don't we? There are times when our brothers and sisters in Christ need us to judge them. Isn't that something? Galatians 6:1. Paul writes, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Notice that. There's a brother in a fault, but who's supposed to restore him? Those that are spiritual are to do the restoring. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. James gives a similar command, doesn't he? Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, here's a man that's erred from the truth. He's gone away from the truth. He needs someone to bring him back. So we go out and we convert him. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. There is absolutely nothing wrong with me confronting an error a sin, a problem in the life of another person. However, I better make dead certain that I've cleaned up my life first. If I've got a quirky personality, I'm not going to talk to somebody about who's got a quirky personality. You know that? I'm not going to do that. If I'm a person who is an introvert, and I am, I'm not going to harshly judge another person who's an introvert because I know what he's facing, or at least I ought to know what he's facing. If I'm a person who's never had a kid, I'm going to be the exact person that judges somebody who has six of them. That happens, doesn't it? You come have these kids. Then you come talk to me. Nothing wrong with helping others, but folks, when we go help them, we better make certain our life is right in the sight of God when we do. This is an interesting point. All judging has never been condemned by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't you ever use this passage out of its context. In fact, Jesus says this in John 7, verse 24, judge not according to the appearance, but what? But judge righteous judgment. It's okay to judge as long as my judgment is right, righteous. I'm walking down the road and I see a man who's wobbling. Kathleen's in the car with him. I say, look at that drunk. That's what? I'm judging by appearance. I stop, I get out. I ask the man, what's wrong? He says, man, I've got a terrible sugar problem. And right now my sugar is about to bust off the roof. And it's all I can do to get to the doctor that I'm trying to get to. Uh-oh. Vic's done made a fool of himself, hadn't I? Because I've judged according to the appearance and not a righteous judgment. It's okay to judge. You just better do it righteously. But Jesus did do this. He does condemn all hypocritical judgment. We must always keep in mind that when I judge another person, the exact standard by which I judge that person will be applied by God to me. That's a high standard sometime, because we set our standards for others pretty high, don't we? Got one question for you. Will your own life bear that kind of scrutiny that you use upon other people? Man, that's a toughie, isn't it? It's amazing that Jesus can get so practical, isn't it? When he talks to us about our Christian lives. It's a part of being holy, isn't it? You know, we think holy, we just think of, you know, bad sins. No. Just the way I treat or judge another person can impact my holiness before God Almighty. Maybe each of us needs to go home this afternoon, get in our claws, get on our knees, and beg God to forgive us of being so harsh in our judgments of other people, especially when those judgments don't involve one sin whatsoever. You know that? Not one sin. Are there someone here today who's not a Christian? We want you to be. It's a high standard of living. There's no doubt about that. We're called to be holy as He is holy. But it's well worth it in the last day, isn't it? If you're not a Christian, obey the gospel today. You've heard the truth. You've believed in the Christ. Jesus says, repent or perish, Luke 13:3. Die to that old way of living. Come forward, confess His beautiful name before me and have the courage to do that. Yes, He is the Son of God. Take that old man of sin and bury him and rise a new creature in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:3-4. Galatians 3:26-27. You need to respond to this invitation. Won't you come as we stand and sing?